Thank you very much, Nick, for that generous introduction. It's a pleasure to be part of this conference. I'll be speaking today, as my title slide indicates, about the rise, persistence, and surprising end of female personifications of the continents on maps, which is to say, artistic representations of the continents as women on maps. And I'll begin with talking about an earlier tradition, which is male representations of the continents, specifically the sons of Noah's as representatives of the continents. So the Bible says that after the flood, after Noah's flood, Noah divided the world among his three sons. And in the course of medieval interpretations of the Bible, the areas allotted to Noah's three sons came to be identified with the three continents of the so-called Old World, that is to say, Asia, Europe, and Africa. And we see the sons of Noah associated with those three continents in medieval Mappamundi. So here we have a 9th century Mappamundi illustrating a manuscript of Isidorus Etymologiae. And zooming in, we have a text here that says, "Behold, thus the sons of Noah divided the world after the flood." And we have Asia associated with Noah's son Sem, Europe with Japhet, and Africa with Cham. And in other cases, we can see the sons of Noah represented graphically, as in this famous Mappamundi by Jan Mansell, which appears in his Fleur des Histoires, from a manuscript from the 15th century. Here's Asia at the top of the map. We see Noah's Ark prominently represented. And then we have Sem representing Asia, Japhet representing Europe, and Cham representing Africa. And these associations of the three continents with the three sons of Noah continued. We see that association here in a world map in Hartmann Schedel's Liber Chronicarum of 1493, where we have the three sons of Noah looking in on the map from the borders. So I'll now talk about the appearance of female personifications of the continents in a cartographic context. So these female personifications were developed in the 16th century. And I'm going to look at here at one of the first appearances of these personifications in a cartographic context. I put an asterisk there with a citation below of a work in which I look at some earlier appearances of female personifications of the continents in a cartographic context, but I'm really getting into the heart of the matter here, the representations that had the greatest influence. And that would be on the title page of Abraham Ortelius's Theatrum Orbis Terrarum, which of 1570, which is the first atlas in the modern sense of the word. And we can see that Europe is represented as a woman at the top of the title page. So in a hierarchical position, the top hierarchical position, she's seated, clothed, and has a globe and cross indicating European geographical knowledge and Christianity. Here we have Asia represented as a woman clothed and holding a censer. The censer is a typical attribute of personifications of Asia. Africa mostly naked, and so we're moving down the hierarchy of the continents. And then we have America naked and lying on the ground. And the only partly discovered southern continent, and because the southern continent was only partly known, it's represented as a bust rather than a complete human figure. And if we move from a cartographical context, which is to say the title page of an atlas, into a map proper, this is the earliest female personifications of continents that appear on a map, which is Petrus Pontius's world map in two hemispheres of 1594. And we see those representations in the four corners of the map. And we'll go through those in order, top to bottom and left to right. So here's Europe with a cornucopia indicating economic abundance and symbols of European power. We can see books, astronomical instruments, and a gun. And we can see a battlefield in the distance and sailing ships. Asia is again depicted with a censer and a rhinoceros, a typical attribute of personifications of Asia. And we see some exotic animals, not all of which actually pertain to Asia. The elephants, of course, do. The giraffe does not. In the lower left corner, we have actually two personifications, Mexicana representing North America and Peruana representing South America. Again, both as women. And in both cases, we can see representations of cannibalism. Of course, cannibalism was very typically ascribed to inhabitants of the New World in the 16th century. And in the lower right, we have a personification of Africa with a crocodile, which is very typical. And to the left, a personification of Magellanica, which is the southern continent. So we see here the direct influence of the title page of Ortelius's atlas. And there's a really quite remarkable map from the early 17th century that actually represents the transition from the sons of Noah representing the continents to the female personifications that we've just seen. And that is a world map by Jodocus Hondius of 1608. It's a printed map that survives in only one exemplar, which is in the Royal Geographical Society in London. And the contrast on the map is not great. So just to orient ourselves, here's Africa, South America, and North America. And we'll zoom in on North America, which we can see that the interior of the continent is occupied by a spectacularly large cartouche, this decorative scene. And as I said, this scene represents precisely this transition from representing the continents by the sons of Noah to representing them with women. So here we have a genealogical table of the descendants of Noah. Here we have Noah himself and his three sons in these roundels surrounding the main scene. So Noah and his sons are on the periphery of the scene. And in the middle, we have the personifications of the continents as women. Each of the personifications carries a banner with some information about the continent that she represents. And then there's also a few lines of verse about that continent. So here's Africa with her lines of verse, America and her lines of verse, Europe in the center, of course, with her banner and lines of verse, and Asia with her banner and lines of verse. And as we can see, there are actually five personifications. I believe that what we're to understand is that there are two personifications of America, one for North America, one for South America. And that was probably done so as to generate this nice symmetry. But in any case, this really is an absolutely remarkable image in that it very consciously represents this transition from representing the continents by the sons of Noah, which is to say by males, to representing them as women. So these female representations of the continents, these personifications of the continents, continued to be depicted on maps throughout the 17th and even into the 18th century. I'll just show a couple maps that will give us an idea of that long tradition. So this is Allard's map of the Americas. And on personifications of the continents as women very commonly appeared on maps of the continents. This map was hand-colored by the famous colorist Dirk Jans van Santen. I have this image courtesy of Barry Ruderman maps. The coloring is really spectacular. We zoom in on the title cartouche, We can see we have a personification of America with a feather headdress and skirt and gold, which is, of course, associated with the New World, and an alligator, and various other sort of attributes of the New World or things that were common in the New World, a parrot, pineapples, bananas, more feathers, an armadillo, sugar cane, and so forth. Moving on now to Allard's map of Africa. So another continental map, another personification of that continent as a woman. Zooming in on the title cartouche, we have the personification of Africa with gold jewelry and a bow and arrow. Of course, Africa was an important source of gold. And we have other images that are representative of Africa. So pyramids, an ostrich, a lion, serpents, and a crocodile. So those images will have to suffice to represent this long tradition of depicting the continents as women on maps. I now move forward to the disappearance of personifications of the continents from maps in the late 18th and 19th centuries. And the way these representations of the continents as women transitioned off maps is very interesting. So first I'll show a map on which they do appear by Robert de Valgondi, his map of 1743. If we zoom in at the top of the map, we can see the four personifications of the continents that we've come to recognize from their attributes such as the feather headdress of America. I now move on to another world map made some years later by the father and son now, so Gil and Didier Robert de Valgondi, made in 1778. And in this cartouche, we do not see the female personifications of the continents. And yet, the attributes of the personifications are there. These attributes of the continents are there. So at the top of the map, we have some of the same attributes of Europe as we saw earlier, including here the bull, alluding to the myth of Europa, and scientific instruments. And at the bottom of the map, on the left, we have symbols of Asia, a camel, the umbrella that we saw, the parasol that we saw earlier associated with the personification of Asia, and also Asian porcelain. On the right, symbols of America, the feathered headdress and bow and arrows that we saw associated with personifications of America earlier, but here without the personification. And then in the bottom, symbols of Africa, elephants, lions, and coral. And we see the same pattern in other maps, that is to say, attributes of personifications without the personifications themselves. And I think we're to recognize that the more elaborate decoration of maps was declining during this period. And so these very elaborate images of these women representing the continents went away, but we still see these reminders of their presence. So here in this map, we still have the feather headdress, bow, arrow, and shield that in an earlier map might have been worn by a personification of America. And this is Jean Janvier's map of the world from 1774. If we zoom in on at the top of the map, and first on the side of the map representing the Americas, on the left we have symbols representing America, the typical feathered headdress, skirt, bow, club, and palm tree. Again, the clothing is something that a personification of America would have been wearing in an earlier map. Now the personification is missing. Oops, I'm sorry. And on the right, we have an Asian dragon banner, the censer that we've often seen carried by a personification of Asia, and the Islamic crescent. And on the right, we have European cannon, sail, a painting palette, sculpture. So symbols of European technical prowess. And again, in an earlier map, we might have seen a personification of Europe with these same items, holding some of these same items. And on the right, we have an African date palm, ivory, a spear, and a lion skin. And we, again, in an earlier map, we might have seen a personification of Africa holding the spear, wearing the lion skin, holding the ivory, things of that nature. So we've had this transition from male representations of the continents to female representations of the continents in the 16th century. And then the disappearance of the females themselves, but their attributes, the attributes of those personifications of the continents, remain on the maps for some decades. And it's just worth mentioning the hierarchy of the positioning of these vestiges of the personifications of this continent, of the continents on this map. So we have Europe and Asia near the center, which I think was understood as the more prestigious position, with Africa and America at the edges on the periphery. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chet. That's absolutely amazing tour through the personification of continents using women. Absolutely terrific. I'd like to begin by referring to a comment in the chat, which suggests that the Latin names for the continents are feminine, suggesting that in classical antiquity, the personification of the continents was already regarded as female. So, wasn't the female personification of continents from the 16th century simply a return to the practices of antiquity?
Yes, it was. So Europa, of course, is female. And in the myth of Europa and the bull, in artistic depictions of that myth, she is represented as a woman. So yes, the Renaissance was the rebirth of classical studies and the systematic representation of the continents as women harkens back to classical antiquity, of course. It's worth mentioning that Martin Waldseemüller in suggesting the name America for the New World specifically mentions the fact that he's proposing the feminine form of the word because the other continents had been represented as women.
Thank you, Chet. So why do we see this transition from the male personification to female? And following on from that, why do you think the female images were eventually dispersed with or dispensed with?
Yes, well, the fact that the continents had been represented by the sons of Noah, there were three sons of Noah, there was no changing that, but the discovery of the fourth part of the world, which is to say the new world, entailed that system of representation was no longer adequate. So that was certainly at least one factor in the setting aside of the earlier representation of the continents by means of the sons of Noah. With regard to the second part of your question, I think there was a gradual decline in elaborate decoration of maps in the late 18th and 19th centuries. And I think, I mean, I'm inclined to see the gradual disappearance of female personifications from maps as part of that decline in elaborate decoration. For example, one can also see that sea monsters become less and less common on maps during the same period. So the overall level of decoration on maps was in decline during this period.
Do you have any indication as to how the map user, the map consumer, might have responded to the personification of the continents in female form?
That's a very good question. I don't have data about how those images were perceived and responded to. We can see some adjustments in the hierarchy of the personifications of the continents over time. So for example, as we saw on Ortelius's title page, the personification of America was in a very low hierarchical position. And in the late 18th and even early 19th century, there are a few images where America has sort of attained, if you will, a higher hierarchical position. But that's not quite the same as hearing someone's reaction to these depictions. And I'm afraid I don't have information about that.
Okay, well, thanks ever so much, Chet. That's been a terrific presentation.